One of these days, I'm just going to sit down and wait and see how long it takes till everybody gets done greeting one another. All right, we enjoyed the services this morning. It was a blessing and a challenge, a comfort. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us this evening. So, Brother Hinkle, come ahead, sir.
All right, if you have your Bible with you tonight, how about finding your place in Luke chapter 19? Luke chapter 19. I gotta be honest with you, I am a bit of a systematic individual. I find it difficult to preach messages that are completely separate from each other and have absolutely nothing to do with each other. I don't know if that was if I learned that through pastoring or whatnot, but I like the messages that we preach to have something to do with each other. I have a place where we want to start and a place where I feel like we want to finish, and without you really knowing it, we started doing that this morning in Sunday school. In fact, all three messages, even though they are in different topics, they actually are sequential. There is a method to the madness, you might say. In Sunday school, we talked about choosing Him, really, is what we were talking about, making sure that Jesus is the most important one in our lives. In fact, there should be nothing that rivals Him. There really shouldn't be anything that should even come close to rivaling His importance in our lives. He should not just be important, we said this morning. He should be essential. Just like Job said, I have esteemed the words of His mouth to be more necessary than my daily food. Now, we know how important food is. I know I sure do. And that being the case, Christ's importance in our lives should far surpass any feeding of the belly, you might say. Well, we talked about choosing Him. When you choose Him, you place Him in a place of exaltation. You put Him on a pedestal in your life, and He deserves to be there. We at that point deal with what we talked about in the morning service. When you put Him in a place of exaltation in your life, by very nature of what it is you've done, you begin to spend more time with Him. If He's the most important, then when you wake up in the morning, you don't wake up with 5 minutes left on the clock to rush out to go to work. When it comes time to go to church, as I said, I had a nap like many of you probably did this afternoon, but I woke up in plenty of time to be able to sit down in my prayer closet and engage with the Lord and spend some time with Him before I came this evening. And you know what? I did that even before I was a preacher. Before I had the opportunity to preach like we do now, before I was a pastor, before I was an evangelist, when I was just a good old-fashioned, normal Joe and Jane church member in a good Bible-believing church, we still did these things. It's not new to us. So we want to put Christ in an exalted place in our lives. And so when we do that, we begin to spend more time. When I spend more time with Him, you know what I find myself doing? I find myself loving Him more. To know Christ is to love Him. See, the problem, really the problem is the one of the reasons that I many times don't express a greater love for Him is because I have shortchanged myself in how much time I've spent with Him. If I would spend more time with Him, I would love Him more. And you know what? The more I love Him, the more I'll serve Him without limits. I'll love Him without limits, just like we talked about in the morning service. Well, as we begin to know Him, we begin to love Him. What we did, first of all, we chose Him. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. I make a daily choice. In fact, in every area of my life, I make a conscious choice to love Him, to choose Him. When it comes time for habits and hobbies, when it comes time for earthly relationships or what I'm going to do on Sunday and Wednesday, I am constantly making choices. I either choose Him or I choose something other than Him. Well, I want to choose Him. When I choose Him, I begin to love Him. So that was message number two. Tonight, I want to cover a topic that, you know, once I choose Him and I begin to love Him, I'm going to want to do something in my life that I believe every Christian has been called to do. Glorify Him. We should glorify Him. And so here what I want to do, I'm going to preach a message to you tonight that I've entitled this, Being Loosed from What Has Us All Tied Up. Being loosed from what has us all tied up. We're going to pray here just a moment, and then we'll read our text, and we'll dive in. So let's pray together, and let's ask the Lord for wisdom tonight. Father, oh Lord, as always, I feel like there's a broken record here, but Lord, it needs to be said, needs to be understood. The thought needs to be a part of our thinking here. Lord, we need you tonight to do this supernatural work. I pray this so that each and every person who is under the sound of my voice tonight knows who it is that I'm depending on. If anything supernatural happens this evening, if any person is touched by the Holy Spirit, Lord, may it be known by every single human being here tonight that it is nothing to do with the person speaking and everything to do with the supernatural touch of Almighty God. Father, that you might receive honor and glory this evening. Father, would you help us to see your importance, to choose you, to place you in the pinnacle of our lives, so that we might love you without limits. And as we begin to love you without limits, Father, I pray that you'd enable us to just honor you, to glorify you, to live a life so that other people would not brag on us, but rather to brag on you. So we ask your blessing this evening as we look into this passage, Luke 19. Father, would you give that which is necessary tonight to make tonight a profitable time? Remove from our lives anything that would hinder, both in the speaking and the listening. Oh Lord, we're cognizant of the fact that there might be someone here tonight who is thinking about other things or maybe has an issue in life that's just robbing them of the opportunity to hear like you want them to hear. So Lord, would you remove that tonight? We pray for protection against the enemy. Lord, who would seek to hinder, who would seek to destroy, to rob truth from our hearts and minds. We pray your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned in both services this morning a good thing that, a good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps you from the best thing. That's pretty easy to understand. There are a lot of things in life that are deemed good. They're not in and of themselves sin. They don't draw us into sin or anything like that. It can be in some circumstance or some context counted as something that is good. But if that which is good keeps you from that which is best, then the good is not so good, it becomes bad. Because the best is best for us. My pastor used to say this, good, better, best. Never let it rest to you. Good's your better and your better's your best. It's all about the best. And so we make every practicable sacrifice that we have to in order that the best may be experienced. So a good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps us from the best thing. It is possible to tie ourselves down with things that really don't matter so that as to keep us from being free to do the best things. There's a passage in the Bible that about says just that. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1 says, Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here it is, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. See, it is the weights. Don't have to be big weights. They don't have to be extensive or bulky or anything like that. In fact, the weight can be something that's good. That's why I think both are mentioned, weights and sins. Obviously, the sins are the bad stuff. But the weights don't have to be bad in and of themselves. They just have to weigh you down. They just have to keep you tied so that the best cannot be experienced in your life. So the Bible cautions us. It encourages us. Listen, if there's something in my life that is tying me down and keeping me from the best things, then I need to lay aside those things. And you know what? Just as a matter of understanding the text, those weights, as I said, the Bible says they easily beset us. My dad was in the Marines, and he said that he kind of struggled with the shooting portion of his basic training. And I said when he was out there and he was laying in the prone position, he said, I'll just be honest with you, he couldn't hit the broad side of a barn with a bazooka, let alone a rifle. And so he's out there and they're so far away is the target and he's trying to shoot. Well, the instructors were not real helpful. They didn't eliminate all distractions. And rightfully so. You don't want to you don't want a private or something like that out there on the field with a gun and needing it to be absolutely silent, with nothing happening, no breeze, nothing hindering him from hitting his target, because that's never going to happen, right? And so what he'd do is the instructor, my dad, was sitting there in prone position waiting for the right circumstance to be able to pull that trigger, let the wind die down or you know, whatever the case may be. And he'd come along the back of him, and just as he's about to pull that trigger, he'd boop, bump his foot. And he said when it bumped his foot, the gun barrel went this way, and obviously the bullet went nowhere near the target. See, it didn't take setting a bomb off over top of him to get him off target. It took just the smallest little thing. That's what happens in the life of a Christian. And so what we need to do is we need to get these things out of our lives. We need to loose ourselves so that we are available and we can accomplish the best things. Has anyone ever heard of this thing called CrossFit? CrossFit is a grueling physical thing. There are men's and women's CrossFit competitions. There's a woman by the name of Catherine David's daughter, who is one of the few women who've won multiple CrossFit competitions. She was being interviewed one day, and of course she's been in this for a lot of years. And they asked her the question. She was walking in a grocery store, and she was picking out the food that she normally picks out. You know, like bottles of beetroot juice. Yeah, that's the good stuff too. So that she passed by a glass door with cartons of ice cream in that freezer. And she looked at it, and she kind of groaned a little bit. And so the guy who was doing the interview said, "Hey, how long has it been since you've had a scoop of ice cream?" She said, "It's been years." You know what? Something as simple as a cup of ice cream? Are you kidding me? With all the things that they go through and all the exercise that they're involved in and all the discipline, you know what? They looked at even a cup of ice cream as being something that would hinder them from being able to compete on the greatest level possible. Something that small, they laid it aside and said, you know what? It's not necessary to my overall goal. So I'm going to do away with it. I'm going to keep myself from being tied down so that I can win those championships. You know, that's for something secular. That's for something that isn't going to count for anything in eternity. Hey, nobody's going to recognize a CrossFit champion in heaven. This is amazing to me, even as a pastor's evangelist. And listen, I don't have to look at anywhere but my own life to see that there have been things that have tied me down and kept me from being the most I could be for Jesus Christ. And so these are the things we need to work on, things we need to eliminate. How does this attach itself to the text that we're going to share with you this evening? I'm going to read it for you. I'll read it with you. And as we look at this passage, we're going to let a donkey talk to us tonight. He doesn't have a voice and he doesn't speak in the passage, but I'm telling you, what a tremendous example for us that we could follow this donkey. My dad used to say this, everything physical has a greater spiritual implication. So even the donkeys were created so that you and I can glean some admonition from them. And so here's what we're going to do. Let's read the passage here this evening. We're going to start reading in verse number 30 of Luke chapter 19. Actually, let's start reading verse number 28. "And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, there whereon never a man sat." Now this is really essential to our understanding. We know that he was tied. The Bible says Jesus told him, "Loose him. Loose him and bring him hither." Basically he's saying, "Bring him to me." Verse number 31, if any man ask you why you loose him, thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. Now, let's fast forward here just a bit. Verse number 37. And when he was coming, now the colt was gotten, the colt was taken to Jesus, and we're to the point here in verse number 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now what part did the donkey play in this? Well, verse number 33 says, verse number 34, and they said, the Lord needed him, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments on the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. The title of the message is this: being loosed from what has us all tied up. I want to look at the donkey tonight. I want to draw a couple of conclusions and then seal the whole deal with a thought at the end. Number one, as you look at the colt, I want you to see that there was a creation with purpose. There's a creation with purpose. Now, as the Bible begins to tell the story about what Jesus is going to do and the circumstances surrounding it, Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to go to a town and I want you to find, you're going to find a colt. Now, Jesus up to this point had never laid eyes on the colt, yet he knew the colt. Exactly where he was, exactly where he would be, exactly what time he would be there. Jesus knew the colt was going to be there. Now, the only way that Jesus could know that he was there, as Jesus being God, was if he created him to be where he was at the exact moment that he was there. That donkey, even as lowly a creature as he is, was created with purpose. What an amazing thing. You know, this was not the only donkey that existed at the time. There was nothing special about this donkey. Yet, this donkey was created in the mind of God for a specific purpose. You know what that tells me? That tells me that every single person in this room tonight, I don't care what your age, what your occupation, what your social status, it does not matter. I believe, based on this principle alone, that God has created everyone in this room with a purpose in mind. He's got something special for your life. Now, I would say this, there's a difference, there's probably going to be a difference as to God's will for your life as there's for mine, but those are the specific wills of God. I believe there's what's called a general will of God, which means that there is something you've been created for, and it's the exact same thing I've been created for. In fact, we've all been created for a specific reason in a general sort of way. This donkey was created just like all the other donkeys were created, but he had a purpose. And I love the fact that he was created. I love the fact that the Bible states the fact that Jesus knew the donkey before he even laid eyes on him. Before I became flesh out of my mother's womb, Jesus knew me. God knew me. And he knew what I would be. He'd know where I would go. You know, in eternity past, Jesus knew that I would be preaching from this pulpit on this specific day. That's crazy when you think about it. And all the different lives, all the different circumstances, all the things that could get in the way of a person fulfilling their purpose in life. Jesus knew it all. He's, of course, we know, omniscient. He knows everything. So the Lord knew this donkey. He created him with purpose. That's the reason he knew who he was, where he was, and what time he was there. What was the purpose? These are the questions. I just have a couple of questions we want to ask. What was the purpose? I believe the purpose could be stated best in John 12:32. The Bible says, If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You know what the Bible says is that this donkey did? You know what his purpose was? His purpose was to lift up the very personage of Christ. He was to exalt him, to put him in a place where everyone would be able to see him and honor him, to glorify him. That's what the purpose of the donkey was. When they set Jesus on the back of this animal, and as he began to walk through the crowd, everyone could see Christ in an exalted way. He could be seen by everybody. See, if the donkey wouldn't have exalted Christ, he'd have been on the same level, and he probably would have blended in. But you know what? Because of the ministry of this donkey, Jesus could be seen and honored by everybody who was there. We just read it. The Bible says that they shouted, Hosanna! They shouted, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. He's there honoring the Lord Jesus Christ by lifting Him up. What an amazing thing. And this is a beast of burden. This isn't a human being. This is an animal. Doesn't have the same type of soul we have. It is not a person like you and I. Is not the pinnacle of God's creation like human beings are. And yet He's here fulfilling His purpose. He's honoring the Lord. He's doing what He can. Just like we talked about Mary this morning. The Bible says she did what she could when she broke the alabaster box. She did what she could. And this donkey is doing the very same thing. The purpose for which he was created was to lift Christ up so he could be seen by all, honored by all, and received by all, and of course to receive honor by all. That was his purpose. Let me ask you this. Good question. What was special about the donkey? Well, here's what was special. This is really good, and you're going to find this really interesting. You know what was really special about the donkey? This is going to make everything come together perfectly. You know what was special about the donkey? Nothing. Not a single thing. You know, it'd be one thing if he was a Clydesdale where he could have had the strength to pull something. It'd be one thing if he was an Arabian where he could run really fast. It'd be one thing if he was a thoroughbred quarter horse where he'd have stamina. He was a donkey. Has anyone ever owned a donkey? I have owned a donkey. Ain't nothing special about a donkey. In fact, they're not even fun to ride. You know, horses have a real smooth gait to them. Riding a donkey is like riding on a plank on a West Virginia road with no springs on your vehicle. I mean, if you have fillings in your mouth when you start, you'll have no fillings afterward. Just jars the hound dog out of you. They're not, and they don't have that nice smooth back. It's like sitting on the peak of your roof. That's what it's like. Listen, there's nothing special about this donkey whatsoever. And you know what that tells me? What that tells me is the Lord creates ordinary individuals to extraordinary things. He's got a purpose for your life. You've been created with purpose. What is your purpose? To exalt the name of Jesus. It is to glorify Him, to bring Him honor. You know, the greatest honor that any person in this room could receive is that if you do something that God gets honor for. That's the greatest thing in the world. You know, we kind of have it backwards. I go a lot of places and we talk to a lot of people where ain't a whole lot of that going on. In fact, when we tell stories, are we not the knight in white shining armor in all the stories that we tell? Very few people say, listen, I've got a problem with my mouth. Would you pray for me? I keep saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. No. We don't tell stories like that. What we do is we'll tell a story and, you know, how when we came rushing in and we saved the day. Wow, I'm so awesome. That's kind of the way it goes. And Jesus is robbed of all the glory he deserves. This donkey took no glory for himself. He didn't go up there and try to put on something that he wasn't. You know, he didn't try to be the quarter horse who was stylish. He didn't trot with a special trot so that people would recognize who he was. No, this donkey, he exalted the name of Christ. He was nothing special, and he took no glory for himself. There was nothing that could stand out about this donkey. You know, as we live life, and one of the reasons I think the Apostle Paul was a man who honored the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was a guy who didn't take glory. I think he was an ordinary man. I think he was, he had some education. I believe God made him who he was, obviously, but he certainly didn't see himself as being anything special. I think the donkey is the same way. The donkey was just a donkey. He didn't try to be somebody he wasn't. And he simply did what he was created to do. Nothing special about the colt. What enabled this colt to serve as it did? This is a great question. What enabled the colt to serve as it did? Well, the Bible says that never man sat on this colt, right? Which means that the colt, has anyone ever broke a horse before? Anyone ever involved in that? We moved to Texas back in 1995. And when we crossed the border of Texas, doesn't usually work this way, but we all of a sudden became cowboys. My whole family, first thing we did, we didn't buy a piece of property. We didn't buy a horse. We didn't buy a cow. We went to the closest hat and boot retailer we could find. We all got cowboy hats, belt buckles, and cowboy boots. And we looked the part. Now, we were nowhere close to a cowboy. But I tell you what, you look at us, you'd think we were. Well, we thought we were so special, we went to the Bureau of Land Management. We bought 4 horses from the Bureau of Land Management. They had been taken out of the Mojave Desert. They were as raw as you could get. In fact, they had never been around human beings before. And here they've been captured and they've been put in pens, and we bought 4 of them. We're going to take them back to our place. We're going to break these things. We're cowboys now. And we know everything there is to know about breaking horses. So we get the horses back to the house and we begin the process and so forth. I'm telling you, I think we got broke more than they did, just to be honest with you. We have a little bit of experience of what it's like to work with an animal that's raw like that. This donkey right here, now, it'd be one thing if it was a horse, but being a donkey, I think this makes it an extraordinary circumstance. Why? Because donkeys are unusually self-willed. They are stubborn. Above all things, it seems like. There is not a single ounce of let me do what you want to do in them. Nothing like that. And they have to be brought to a place where they can be. So Jesus told the disciples, go get a colt that is raw and self-willed, full of self, and bring him to me. That's kind of an impossible circumstance. I remember back on the farm, my dad, this is the way he dealt with donkeys. You go to pull a donkey, and a donkey didn't want to go, and the donkey's bigger than you. Guess what? The donkey don't go. So my dad would go get his Ford 9N tractor, put a halter on the donkey, tie a lead rope from the halter to the tractor, and that tractor took the donkey where dad wanted him to go. Now what he'd do, that donkey, I'm telling you what, would lock its legs down, and at one point, the donkey would sit down on its backside, so as to keep. Now, you don't do that with a tractor, because the tractor takes you anyway. But my point is this, listen, this is the type of donkey that the Lord told his disciples to go get. But I don't see the donkey doing anything that's normal for a donkey. Why is that? Now, Jesus got the disciples went and got the donkey. That was hard enough as it was. They brought the donkey to Jesus, and I remember it was like we had those horses. The very first time I threw a blanket up over the back of that horse, it went nuts. It went nuts. It took us like 3 weeks, it seemed like, just to get the horse to a place where we could put the blanket on it. Yet the Bible says that these donkeys, this donkey right here, they were taking their garments and throwing it up over the donkey, and it didn't do a thing. I also remember the day I put my foot in the stirrup of that saddle for the very first time. Let me just say this. I didn't ride that day. You don't ride a horse for the first time when you put your foot in the stirrup for the first time. In fact, after I was able to get up on the horse, I didn't really ride that day. I sort of hung on that day. Yet Jesus, they place him on the back of this donkey. It doesn't buck one time. It doesn't do anything. How is that even possible? I believe the answer is this. There is a supernatural touch from the Lord. That's the only thing I can come up with. Jesus supernaturally touched this animal so that it could do things it would never do before. It would experience things it would have never experienced otherwise. Had it not been touched by the supernatural hand of God, it would have never done the things that it was doing. Yet here all of a sudden it's doing what it was created to do. Even though it had no experience in doing it. Oh man, I don't know if you can tell the spiritual undertones here. Listen, we were created with purpose. What were we created to do? Glorify Him in everything we do. But you know what? I'm full of self-will. I'm full of self. Man, I can be one of the most selfish people on the face of the earth. I told you this morning about when our babies would cry in the middle of the night and I'd hold out as long as I could till my wife would wake up and take care of them. So I was kind of in a quandary. I couldn't stand them crying, yet I didn't want to get up and deal with it either. So I just hang on, and then she'd get up and take care of them. That's pretty selfish. But you know what? As selfish as we can be, as self-willed as we can be, you and I can do things that in and of ourselves we'd never be able to do outside of the supernatural touch of Christ. You know what? My life, as self-willed as I can be sometimes, my life can honor Him. You know, I can actually do something that instead of them saying, "Oh, Brother John, man, you are such a great blah, da 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 da," no, what they'd say is, "Praise the Lord. Glory to God that that's even happening. Glory to God. Praise Him. Magnify." What's exactly what they did? "Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah." Giving honor to Him. That only happens through a supernatural touch where He takes someone like us and uses us for His glory. What an amazing thing. Last question is this. What was the result of this cult fulfilling its reason for being created? Jesus was magnified. Jesus was honored. People got to see Christ high and lifted up. The greatest accomplishments in our life is not what I can possess. It's not how much money I can accumulate or how well I can be known. But how much glory I can bring to His name. You know, when it comes to this idea of glorifying the Lord, ask yourselves the question tonight, how clearly can people see Christ through my life? How clearly? Is the water a little muddied because of maybe some self-will, maybe a desire for self to be honored in some? Listen, there are two things that every person craves. According to the Grace Fellowship International out of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, it's a counseling agency. Out of 40 years of ministry, they've come to the conclusion there are two things that every single person craves. Number one, security. Every person wants security. That's why when you go take a job, you don't walk in and say, "I want a job," and then you talk about how much you're going to get paid after you get hired. That very rarely ever happens. Usually it's, okay, how much am I going to make? What kind of benefits are there? We get all of the security questions lined out so that we know whether we're going to take the job or not. People want security. We want that house. It's one of the reasons that traveling in a camper is so, brings such anxiety to some people. Why? Because you're constantly moving. You have no roots. You don't bed down in one particular place. There's no security. Well, the second thing, everyone longs for significance. Everyone wants a life that matters, wants a life that means something. Listen, we want a reason. We want the reason for which we've been, which we're alive, to make a difference. But the problem with that is, if I want my life to make a difference, there's a fine line between wanting my life to make a difference and wanting the glory from it. So we have to be careful when it comes to this. The donkey honored Christ. He fulfilled the reason for which He was created, and people glorified Jesus, not the donkey. So the conclusion we come to at the end of the whole thing is this. We know what the donkey was created to do. We know who he was. We know what he did, and we know that Christ was honored. But the thing I always go back to is this. It's possible that none of this would have ever happened. Why is that? Because the donkey was all tied up. The donkey was tied down. He was not free to do what he was created to do. The Bible says he had to be loosed first. He had to be freed from what tied him down to be able to glorify the Lord like he was created to do. I see that in the passage. Verse number 30 of the passage, it's very distinct. Jesus said to go over against you into which you'll enter, you'll find a colt, but that colt is tied down. You know what? When we had horses and so forth, donkeys and so forth on the farm, I remember when we didn't want the donkey or the horse to wander off or go someplace we didn't want it to go, we tied him down. We had a hitching post is what we call it. Two posts in the ground. We'd sink them down there with concrete. Then we'd connect it with a bar in the middle. And then we'd take the reins and we'd tie them up to that post. Why? Because we didn't want them getting away. Didn't want to have to chase them all over the farm to get them. So we tied them down. But the only problem is when they're tied down, they can't go anywhere. That's a good thing, but it can be a bad thing too. In this particular case, it would have been a bad thing. If the donkey would have remained tied to that post, he would have never been able to fulfill the reason for which he was created. So the Bible says, loose him and bring him hither. See, in order for us to fulfill our purpose, we have to be loosed from the things that keeps us from doing just that. Laying aside every weight and sin that does so, here it is, easily besets us. We have to be loosed. And so in the realm of this idea of being loosed, I want you to see that there was something hindering him from fulfilling his purpose. There was something hindering. Let me ask you something here this evening. Is there anything hindering you from fulfilling your purpose? Maybe a habit. Maybe a hobby. Maybe it's even a good thing, but it's keeping you from the best thing. Is there anything greater in life than honoring Christ? Listen, we're going to spend eternity with Him. And when we finally get to see Him face to face, I think part of the tears that He's going to wipe away is us understanding all of the moments that we lived for self instead of living for Him. When we tried to somehow gain some kind of popularity or something for ourselves instead of living in such a way that people only ever saw Him. We're going to remember those days and we'll look back and say, oh man, it's like the person on their deathbed. I remember back in West Virginia, there was a man I worked for 3.5 years and he had created a business. He worked it for 50 years and he had gotten a congestive heart failure. He was about 3 weeks from dying. And he got saved 3 weeks from dying. I tell you, that man lamented more than once that he didn't have the opportunity to go back and do it all over again. But you know what? You and I have an opportunity right now. We don't have to wait till that moment and say, oh man, I wish I'd have done it. No, we can do something about that now. At least, I know we can. So, there was something hindering him from fulfilling his purpose. Number two, the colt, while tied, was not available to serve. Makes sense, don't it? There's something in my life, I'm not going to be available to serve. Why? Because I was thinking about this afternoon. I'm a sports fan. I like baseball. We're kind of a baseball family. We each have a different baseball team that we like. And when we're out in evangelism, we sometimes take the opportunity as a family to go to a baseball game. So I watched some of the baseball game this afternoon, and we got done with the baseball game, and I took a little nap, and we got up a little bit later, and I was in my prayer closet. I don't know, maybe it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I was still kind of fresh about the morning's message, and saying to myself, you know what? What would it be like sometime, instead of sitting down watching the baseball game, wanting to see my team win, wanting to see my team play, just leave the TV off. Knowing that that is a sacrifice, so it could be something that's not bad in and of itself. But you know what? I could have spent that 3 hours with the Lord. I thought to myself, boy, I don't want that to be something that ties me down. I like sports. It's been a part of my life for a long time. But something that simple, and in some cases that innocent, could be the very thing that's tying me down and making me unavailable. The last thing is this. Sometimes it takes someone else coming into our lives to help us untangle ourselves from the things that tie us down. This donkey here could not free himself. Trust me, if the donkey could have, he'd have freed himself. And he'd have run all over the countryside. But he could not free himself. You know what he needed? He needed a helping hand. He needed someone to come along and help him untangle himself from the things that tied him down. You know what? We have people like that in our lives. Could be a parent. Could be a godly couple in a church. It could be our pastor. It could be, I don't know. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, hey, listen, I see something's going on and listen, I love you and I'm just here to help. But I see this going on in your life and I just want to let you know about it. Boy, if you need any help at all, I want to help you. Because I know God's got something for your life and far greater than where you're at right now. And I know God can do great things with you. So if you'd let me, I would help you loose yourself so that you can be available, so that you can fulfill your purpose, the purpose for which you were created. I know this, there have been things in my life I couldn't see. Things that tied me down. My dad had to come to me and say, hey John, I see this. I see what's going on and I just want to let you know about it. I needed that in my life. I need that accountability. And maybe there's somebody in here tonight that that maybe you don't see what's tying you down. Maybe it doesn't seem out of the ordinary to you. The donkey is probably used to being tied up a little bit. He was tied down, probably been tied down more than once. So it was not out of the ordinary for him. You know, things sometimes in our lives tie us down, and we've done it so often, it's just ordinary. It's regular business for us. If somebody has to come along and open our eyes, hey, listen, you're actually tied down to this. And you need to be loose so that you can fulfill the purpose for which you were created. Well, I don't know how you feel this evening, but I tell you what, I want to be loosed. I want to be loose so I can be available. I want to be loosed from whatever it is that's tying me down so that I can honor His name. The greatest thing that any human being could ever do is to honor His name. So I hope this evening, of all the things that you could be specifically called to, the one general thing that includes us all will always be this: honor Him. Lift Him up so that other people can see Him clearly, just like this colt. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this evening? I so appreciate the opportunity to preach here this evening, and I just want to admonish you. This can happen to the very best of us. It can happen to the person who's been a faithful Christian their entire lives. But it can happen. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. Would you do this? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to show you? David had to do that. And the book of Psalms, Pastor talked about preaching out of Psalms. The Bible says in Psalm 139, the last two verses, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." You'd think that David would know his own heart, wouldn't you? He, after all, was a man after God's own heart. But you know what? Even he didn't know. So he needed the Lord's help. And so he asked, "Lord, would you show me what's tying me down that I might be available?" Father, as we commit the invitation to you, I pray you'd be with Pastor as he conducts this invitation. And Lord, for each and every heart here tonight, may we be able to raise our head from prayer this evening and be able to say, "There is nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not a single thing that's tying me down that I could be available, that I could honor you." Oh Lord, would you help in this hour? We pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's stand together this evening. Take a songbook, if you would. Brother Lewis will pick an invitation song. I trust that your heart was open and the Lord spoke to you. All of us need to search our hearts. What is it that we need to lose?